Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got some crazy stuff going on the planet. And luckily, I've been out of the loop, so I've missed quite a bit of it. But I have tapped in to check into what's going on now and then. And it's been pretty crazy. I know, I think it's Dane Wigginton has been getting a lot of press about the chemtrails, which is great. And I think that should be the number one topic on everybody's list, is stopping these chemtrails. Because as one of my last shows, we had Sam Maguzi on, and the things that are coming down in these chemtrails are insane. I mean, it's basically chemical warfare on the people and the planet. You know, it's affecting the forests, it's affecting all life, and your gardens as well. And now they want to start spraying glyphosate, you know, which is Roundup, in the chemtrails. And we all know what that is. That causes cancer, liver failure, kidney failure. It's like nasty stuff. And they want to start spraying that in the chemtrails. So why would you spray glyphosate in or Roundup in the chemtrails? I mean, what would be your agenda other than to totally defoliate the planet? And that seems to be what their agenda is. And if you really knew the real agenda behind the chemtrails, basically it's a reptilian agenda. It's a draconian program. And it is made to depopulate the planet and actually defoliate the planet, too. They'd like a nice, hot little desert to live in. And the people that are spraying them under the guise of global warming have been duped. We actually are in a cooling down process. The Arctic is actually getting more snow. The Antarctic is melting. But a lot of the melting in the Antarctic is due to all the drilling they're doing there through the ice cores. They've got all this tunneling system going on to, you know, glean the technology from an ancient race. The progenitor race or the builder race, whatever you want to call them, are frozen down there. They're flash frozen because of a pole shift that happened. And so they're under sometimes a mile of ice. It's up to 2 miles of ice, I guess, in some cases, and so they're trying to get their technology and their genetics and everything else and whatever else they're doing down there. So it's pretty crazy what's happening. But anyway, that's what's happening down there in the Antarctic. A lot of people wanted me to talk about the RV. I'm pretty sure it's done. I haven't been in contact with my people the past 2 days because we have an amazing group here at the ranch. And we've been doing some intense cleanup here and repair and restoration. And there's too many to name, but I can't thank them enough, especially Karen and Mark that brought up these massive pots. They brought these giant iron pots and filled them with incredible plants. And we've been doing all this incredible landscaping here. So the people that haven't been to Yosemite for a while, come up and check it out. The place looks totally different. It's amazing. It's going through a total, I don't know what they call those, makeover. But anyway, it's looking awesome here. It's just phenomenal. It's I'm so used to doing most of the work myself and having this big crew here. It's like I don't know what to do myself now. It's almost like it's like a whole new program for me, but I have to adjust to it. But I'm totally appreciative of all the extra help anyway. But it's just awesome watching things go forward here and getting built. There's a lot of things we want to do here, and I'll talk more about that a little later at the ranch. But we really want to bring in these new healing technologies and some of the other fuelless energy technologies and things like that. We might have to wait a little bit on some of it. But that's kind of what I was up to in a couple of places. One, I was in Hawaii for about a little over a month and a half, almost 2 months, in Maui. And we were doing a lot of energy work there, cleanup work there, making connections, connecting with the local kahunas and things, and talking about building like an extension of Yosemite, but honoring the Hawaiian tradition at the same time. So we're looking at programs there and options there. And the same thing in Mexico. We're looking at options down there in Mexico. And I went there for a couple reasons in Mexico. One, I busted a crown out. And so I had to go down and get it fixed. And it's cheaper to fly down there and get my crown fixed than to have it fixed here. It's like unbelievable. It pays for the whole trip and everything. But there is other motives for going down there and working with different major healing centers down there that are actually doing a lot of the stem cell research. They're doing a lot of work with ozone, platelets, all these different technologies that they're using down there, longevity technologies, all of that. It's just amazing what they're doing now. They're not inhibited, you know, by the or they're uninhibited by the powers that be like they are here. You know, they don't have the FDA banging down their door for healing people like they do here in the States. But so we'll probably see a shift going on. I think in other countries, you know, you're going to see a lot more activity, just like the UFOs. You're going to see a lot of UFO activity in countries that don't shoot at them, you know, so Mexico and places like that, and Australia, there's a lot of places there where you're going to see a lot of UFOs. And, you know, being the original landing spot was actually Australia, and then they moved to Africa from there. You'll probably see them pick up in Australia first and then move out from there. But if you want to check out esetiaustralia.org, Peter Slattery and Sol Rita's work there, amazing work. They're getting footage of bizarre craft. I mean, very detailed footage of these craft, you know, with multiple lights on them, apertures. You can see the physical craft. It's pretty incredible, the work they're getting, that they're doing down there. They're just getting some amazing footage, and, you know, massive light ships down there on a regular basis. And we're working down there with Ulukai Brendan Murray, you know, who's the king of the Raven tribe and had some amazing experiences down there. But what's interesting is we're laying the groundwork, and it's all going to sync up. And so people are going, why are you going to Australia? Why are you going to Japan? You know, why are you going to Maui? You know, why are you going to Mexico? Well, there's groundwork being laid, and we've made the connections, and everything's getting ready to come out and go forward. So we're just tying up the loose ends, and when we do have the funding, we're going to go forward and bring in all these technologies, you know. And they have some incredible ozone therapy. I went through some of the therapy where they take your blood out and ozonate it. And I did that a couple times. And it was kind of one time I forgot to eat, and I didn't eat anything in the morning. And we went in there and I did it. And I tell you, I had almost a little mini near-death experience there. It was pretty interesting. But it was kind of fun. Been there before, so it was no big deal. And came right back. But you got to remember to eat when you do some of these therapies. Keep your blood sugars up and your system going. But a lot of things going on that are being laid out right now. And some things I can't go into detail on because I don't want any interference with them until they're complete. But it looks like the programs are all coming together. The people that have the technologies are all coming together. And if you do have access to certain technologies or healing technologies or ideas, be sure and share them with us, because, you know, we'd like to know more. I wanted to talk a little bit about the chemtrails. Some of the stuff in these chemtrails, these exotic molds and things that are coming down, and nanotechnology and the nano aluminum and all these other things are just, it's insane. I mean, whoever is doing these things should actually be brought up on charges, and basically treason, if I don't know what else you'd call it. And especially when you have the Air Force spraying it, that's full-blown treason right there. And I found out through Michael Sala with Exopolitics there, he was talking about, he said basically the Air Force aligned with the reptilians and the Navy aligned with the more benevolent people. And that's why, you know, the CIA and the Air Force and the other guys are all behind these chemtrails and these other programs, because they've been usurped by the reptilian and the draconians. And so that's being cleaned up as we speak. And hopefully, you know, this we'll get through this deep state war and get this major cleanup going on. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. The you know, a lot of people are putting all their eggs in one basket, and you think that Trump or somebody else is going to save you. It doesn't work that way. I mean, these guys, they go in there with good hearts, and they go in there with an idea, and they really want to get, you know, move in the right direction. And then they run into the deep state, and then they run into the psychotronics, and then they run into all the shenanigans, and they run into that whole draconian network, the grid, you know. And it's not an easy task, and it shouldn't be up to one man to do things, and even a few men, you know, to do things. So, you know, he's surrounded by basically pedophiles and Satan worshipers. There are so many in there. And so there has to be a major cleanup, and hopefully he can get that done. But, you know, I don't think it's up to one man. It's like we have to rise as a collective. We have to rise up and say enough's enough and put our support behind these guys. And, you know, a lot of these SEAL teams and things like that are saying enough's enough, and they're starting to go after the pedophiles and the other things. And, you know, once that whole pedophile thing is cleaned up, we're going to have a very, very empty Senate, you know, and a House once that's done. There's been a lot of vacancies there. So, and that's what he's up against. It's the satanic sacrifice program, and the other stuff is so thick. It's beyond your imagination. I don't even want to go there. That'd be a whole show in itself, but it's how thick that is. And the worshiping that they're doing and the connections they're doing are with reptilian beings and serpent beings and demonic type beings. And so, you know, there you have it, you know. So basically, almost all the institutions at the highest level have been compromised, and so we need to clean that out. But again, it's up to all of us to become aware of this and not to participate anymore, and just say enough's enough, and that's what's going to happen. The good news is that the ultra-dimensionals, the masters, and all the other beings are coming in big time right now, raising the frequencies. And the frequency of tyranny and this pedophile ring and these other beings that they align themselves with are being taken out. And so they're not frequency specific to the evolution of Earth and where it's going. So the good news is the backup's here, you know, and it's coming in really strong. So it's just a short time. I think it's not going to be too long where all this stuff hits the fan. And it is. It's totally hitting the fan. You know, I've never seen anything so crazy in all my life. Actually, I did in Mexico during the Easter holiday. Was insane. I was in a little town. I'm not even going to say where it is, but because I don't want people, you know, looking for me there when I go there. But it's a small little fishing village, you know, and it can hold maximum at the height of a holiday, it can probably hold a few thousand people and do it okay. You know, that's about its max. Well, some guy decided to put on a rave in one of the beaches in one of these coves there and put on this huge party and everything else. And all these people started coming in. And I hate to say it, but it wasn't like the kind of quality people you'd like to hang out with. But, you know, the town went from just a small town, you know, to 60,000 people. And they actually had to close off the roads coming in to the town because they just couldn't handle it. There were so many people. And the Navy was there too. And so they had to bring in all this extra police. They had to bring in all this traffic control. They had to bring in the Navy, you know. And when I went down to the beach, it was a sea of people, tents, all the way down to the water, all the way up and down this long, long beach. It was, as far as you could see, just tents everywhere, wall-to-wall people in the water. You know, during the day, you couldn't even walk on the beach. It was just so crowded, and I've never seen anything like it. It was like the lemmings. But anyway, you know, all these people went down there, and I mean, yeah, they did sell a ton of beer, and they sold a ton of drugs and whatever else for this thing, but you know, the one thing about a lot of the people down there, they're so busy partying, they forgot about the high tide, you know, and they had their tents going all the way down to the water. And when the tide comes in there and you get the bigger waves, you know, it goes all the way. The whole beach is underwater. I mean, it's the waves come all the way in, and they have little beach walls there to hold it back, and rocks, you know, stacked up in certain places and things. And it was quite a mess, you know. And the next morning you see everybody sitting there with you know, shivering and shaking, you know, with towels on them and things like that. Me coming from the Northwest, it was no big deal because it never did get cold there for me. But other people were, you know, got down in the 60s and about 64 or something like that, and everybody were freezing, you know. But you know, when you're from the Northwest, it's you know, 64 is comfortable. But anyway, it was quite an event watching what happens when you're totally in social consciousness and you're following the herd and you're not paying attention to nature and you're not using common sense. I saw the repercussions of, 60,000 people showing up in a small town that couldn't handle it and totally oblivious to their surroundings. And it was kind of sad. People were just wall to wall in the streets. They were sick. I don't even go into that part of it, but put it this way, there weren't a lot of bathrooms there and a lot of people were sick and they drank too much and it was quite a mess. But it's going to take a big rainstorm to clean all that up or something. But anyway, it was quite an experience. Luckily, where I was staying was out of town. I like to stay further out where it's not noisy, more in the jungle. And that's where I usually stay when I go down to Mexico. And so I was kind of observing it from the outside, and I couldn't stand it. I had to walk into town just to see it. Everybody's going, don't go. And I go, no, I gotta see this. I gotta see what happens when 60,000 people show up in a really small town. But anyway, it actually turned out really well. And I think kudos to the local people there, especially the local. There's a lot of expats and a lot of people from other countries there, a lot of Americans down there, and they all got together and they started grabbing bags, and the Choco Banana people and everything kind of networked this thing, and they all got their little gloves on and they got their little trash sticks and they went out there with these bags and they started just cleaning up, and it was amazing. They had those beaches all cleaned up, and it was all because of the locals. It was the conscious locals that were taking care of business. And that, to me, was very kind of heartwarming to see that, that there were a lot of conscious people there that were just, cleaning up, and cleaning up the beaches and picking up all the trash and everything. But, I wish I had the aluminum concession there, because they kept bringing in truckloads of beer, and it's just like, all the shops had beer stacked to the ceiling, and they pretty much sold out, So anyway, enough of that. But pretty crazy. But you can see, what can happen to a small town. And I thought about that with the changes and things like that. If we actually did get into some pretty heavy duty changes, your food's going to run out pretty quick. You're not going to last very long, you're going to need a place to stay, and hopefully away from the crowds and the masses, because it's not going to look good. But a lot going on. I was trying to think. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to cover a little bit about the Syria thing. I think it's quite interesting, because there's a part of me that feels like, regardless that Putin and Trump and Assad have a thing going. And because, most of the missiles they fired either had nothing in them or they were duds. And I think 35 of them got shot down, supposedly, or they were duds. And so much for Raytheon, their war toys. And also, too, the airstrip that they bombed, there was nothing there. I mean, if you did a Google search on it before, there was nothing there. And so I think that was just an attempt to bring out all the warmongers, and the Democratic DNC boys, that are scared right now because they've lost all their power, and bring out the McCains and all these other people and show who they are. And I think it's funny, the people screaming the most about Russian contacts actually have been busted for soliciting money from Russia. And hanging out with the Russians, and they're the ones that are pointing the finger the most. And then there's photographs of them hanging out, with the Russian ambassadors, all throughout their career. So I don't know. This whole thing is just, I think what we're seeing is the transparency of how corrupt and how dishonest and the level of deceit and deception is all coming up to a head for all of us to look at. And ask that big question, do we want to give our power away to unconscious people? Do we want to you know, give our power away to people with a long history of corruption and deception and dishonesty. And, you know, some have actually participated in satanic rituals and death. And, you know, there's a long trail of dead bodies with a lot of these people that we allowed to stay in power. And, you know, and so we're all looking at that now. Everybody's taking a big, hard look at our leadership and if we really want to give our power to these leaders anymore. And really, the power needs to come back to the people, and people need to have a say. You know, the common people need to have a say, and we need to learn to lead ourselves. That's the bottom line. Self-leadership is what's important. Speaking of which, we are having some events here at the ranch. I should have done this earlier, but it's a nice segue. We do have the Self-Mastery Workshop coming up May 26th and 28th, and it's a very empowering workshop where you make your own personal connection, you know, with Source and your main teacher and guide, and you actually get to experience all the other dimensional beings and learn some very powerful tools to heal unseen negative influences and things like that. So, you know, can you imagine a whole lot of people doing these clearings? I mean, we do thousands at a time sometime when we're doing clearings. And so if the whole world was like aligned with the ascended masters and the ultra dimensionals and learning how to keep their energy clear and keep the planet clear, we could turn this whole planet around. So luckily, we do have a lot of people out there doing that are helping with this situation. We have a lot of seasonal community members coming up and housekeeping, you know, helping with the housekeeping and the gardening and the restoration right now. That's basically what we're working on now. And we probably open up in May 1st. But if you want to find out more about that, go to privateinvitationeseti.com. Again, it's privateinvitationeseti.com, and that, or go to eseti.org, and that'll give you the information on how to contact us if you want to be involved in the, you know, some of the volunteer work and the other things going on. Luckily, I got some, you know, amazing people here. I got my tractor running again, my favorite vehicle on the ranch, and putting it to work. It's funny, I broke a tooth off the backhoe pulling these big rocks out to put in a line, and same time my crown broke off, so I'm trying to figure out what are they trying to tell me. You know, I broke a tooth off in my mouth and a tooth off in the tractor. But it's kind of interesting. One day I'll figure that one out. But it's all relative. It kind of shows how everything's connected. So anyway, right before I left, I filmed the space station going by with another ship in front of it, right in front of it. And so they can say, well, that's the Russian rocket up there that's refueling or re-outfitting, you know, bringing supplies up to the space station. But when you call them up, they go, oh, no, there's no Russian rocket launched. You know, there's nothing up there. And you go, well, I just filmed something, you know, in front of the, following the space station in front of it. And they go, and they'll go, well, oh yeah, well, we do have a Russian, you know, they change their story, you know, and they go, oh yeah, there is a Russian ship up there. They've done this several times. And I said, well, we also filmed another massive object flying right in front of the space station, right across its bow. And, you know, they get really quiet, you know, and they said, usually they just hang up or say, oh, you need to call this other number or something. You know, it's kind of funny. But it's kind of funny putting them on the spot, you know, just to say. But I actually filmed that just a little while ago. I got some amazing footage of the space station with another ship in front of it, you know, and then another massive ship going right over it. And who knows? I mean, whatever it is, it could have been one of our Solar Warden, one of our giant cruisers up there that we have with the secret space fleet. It could have been a lot of different things. But whatever it was massive, and it was as big as the space station, and it flew right in front of it, right across its path. So, and I have it all on film, so let them explain that one. But we're all getting amazing footage now around the world. We're getting incredible footage. You know, Peter Slattery over there in Australia is getting some amazing footage. Over in Japan, Greg over there, Sullivan in Japan is getting some good footage. There's a lot of things going on. So we've got eSETI, Ireland, eSETI Japan, eSETI Australia. Looks like we're looking at opening up something in Canada. We're going to have an eSETI in Canada and a few others. And, you know, all these people, that are opening up these e-SETIs, they're all focusing on higher consciousness and inviting them and working with the higher dimensional energies. And they're all successful in having contact. And it's a real pain in the ass for the people that are out there just trying to prove UFOs exist and trying to get footage because they're chasing them around trying to get a photograph and we're inviting them and they come. You know, so it's all about consciousness and you know, having an open mind, a loving heart and pure intent, and you put the focus out there and the intention out there and you're going to get it. But again, you know, I wouldn't just open up to anything, as some other groups are saying, you know, just open wide and let it come in, you know, because not all, you know, ETs are benevolent. So you want to be clear, just say, I want benevolent ETs. I want beings that are part of the awakening and healing process. I want teachers and guides on the highest level that can help me in my own evolution, and set your intent and then work on that level. And if you're working through the heart and the higher energies, those are the kind of energies you connect with. So the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. It's really that simple. If you're doing the low-level stuff where you're just trying to prove they exist and you're going after nuts and bolts and the other stuff, well, that's good, you know, if you want to do that, but you're not going to be successful with the higher dimensional ones. And they're the ones in charge, basically. And they're going to be showing that very shortly. So they're going to be showing who's in charge very quickly. So it's going to get really interesting here in the next few months, you know, especially the next month or two. It's going to get even more interesting. But a lot of activity going on. I wanted to open the line up for our callers. If anybody wants to call in and share something, if you got some amazing technology or if you've had some amazing sightings or if you have some idea on how we can get through this shift, some helpful hints or whatever, feel free and give us a call. The number is 888-627-6008. And again, I apologize for being on the road and being there. Were sometimes like last week I couldn't come on the show because I was in Mexico. And what happened was with those 60,000 people, you couldn't get in or out. I couldn't even get a line out to do the show. It was impossible. So so what we did, Ashley, thank God, took over, and they did a really good job and took over the show. And it's kind of rough, you know, just getting a good connection lately. There's so much going on. But now that I'm back at the ranch, we're all hooked up. We've got a great connection, and there's going to be a lot of information coming over the line here. So again, if you want to check in, you know, to give us a call share something, again, it's 888-627-6008. And we're waiting for your call. The the energies coming in right now are off the scale. And I know a lot of people are having trouble with it. And it's interesting because these energies are bringing up our stuff. I mean, our old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And we have a choice when this happens. You know, we can turn it over to our higher self, to the source, to God, creator, great spirit, whatever you want to call it, and ask for help and clear it. And we can learn how to heal unseen negative influences and get them out of the way. Or we can be a victim. And it's up to us. You know, we can make that choice. You know, the source, you know, whatever you want to call it, God, creator, great spirit, it's just going as you wish, you know. And if you go, I'm going to be a victim, it goes as you wish, you know. If he goes, I want to be angry, I want to project, I want to blame everybody else for my unhappiness, it goes as you wish, you know. And that's what you get, basically. But if you're owning your stuff and you make a commitment to spirit and you just learn a few simple tools, you can get through this process. But you know, what I'm finding out is I don't have a lot of patience anymore for people that want to blame and project and make you responsible for their unhappiness. And especially when they're behaving in ways that aren't kind and loving and aren't, you know, in the highest and best good of humanity, the earth. And they're behaving in ways that are very detrimental both to them and your emotional and physical well-being. I'm finding myself less and less tolerant with that. And that's the energies that are coming in. And so I always have to catch myself and go within and say, okay, is this mine? You know, is this? And then I use the basic universal principles. You know, there's the old Cherokee saying is, if it isn't good for everybody, it isn't good. You know, that's good way to apply it. And just ask yourself, is this kind and loving? You know, am I acting in a kind and loving way, and is this good for everyone? And it's that simple. Yeah, but we have to catch ourselves and go, wait a second, you know, I need to be respectful, I need to be loving, I need to treat people the same way I'd like to be treated. And there's times now, especially now, where we're going to have to set boundaries and not participate in the projections and the blames and the, no matter what they are. And, you know, none of us are perfect. We're all fallible. You know, we all have things coming up. We're all in process. The whole planet's in process. But the key is not to project and blame others. And that gives all of your power away. The key is to own it and own what you're feeling. Find out why that feeling has come up for you, where that happened in the past, and heal it and go on. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do to somebody is to walk away and say, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this, because you're enabling them to continue in that kind of behavior. So, and the energy coming in right now is going to empower you to make those choices and those decisions and stop the enabling process and the other things. So we're big time, you know, in this. It looks like we've got Lori on line one. So let's bring Lori on there. Lori, are you with us?
Yes, indeed. I'm a first time caller.
Great. Welcome to the
show.
The
guy that answered the phone was so full of vigor. I can't believe it. So,
oh, great.
He really sets the tone. So anyway, regarding the healing techniques and so on, I was rereading this piece that Alexander Metters had put out, and it states, all will be sent into crystalline healing chambers on the ship. And, of course, I'm excited about that, but the thing is, it's the way it's worded, I guess. It sounds sort of involuntary, and I just wondered if you'd had any interpretation or some kind of clue as to how that will happen, how that will transpire. Is it...
Well, I think first of all, you have to trust your own intuition, you know, whatever you're feeling that might be good or sound off or whatever. I think there'll be some people that will not rise to the occasion and will have to experience, you know, karma, the consequences of their actions, of their attitudes and emotions. And I think some people will. And then also a lot of people will be gifted, you know, healing with this energy comes in. You know, there'll be like a burn and they're going to lose a lot of their stuff. It's just part of the process. So, I don't know. I'm really leery about savior programs where they're going to come in and save everyone and fix everything.
Yeah.
We need to do our part. Everybody needs to do their part here. And it's kind of like a good example is the nuclear program here. You know, we have all these nuclear energy places here, you know, and they're all exactly like Fukushima. You know, they're the same problems are going on there as everywhere else, and they're all leaking and everything else. And now they're building new ones, and they keep building new ones. And Obama signed off to build all these new, the same kind of nuclear energy systems. And so, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, first of all, the ETs aren't going to come in and save you because they've been screaming at you not to build those since the 50s and the 40s, saying do not build these nuclear generators and nuclear devices and nuclear weapons. They were very adamant about it. When we first let off the first bombs, they were here, and they made it very clear. Well, we kept doing it, and so now we have these big accidents and these reactor problems and meltdowns and what happens? We keep doing it. And they're going, you know what? Why should we come save you when you're totally determined to take yourself out on the planet? I mean, how empowering is that for us to come and fix everything for you? And granted too, though, there is a lot of influence behind this, negative influence that's behind this kind of behavior.
Right.
And so I think what they're doing is they're removing that, they're removing those influences. But we all have to do our part. We have to rise up and say, okay, stop. You know, we have fuelless energy technologies. We have these other technologies to spin the turbines. We don't need coal. We don't need nuclear. We don't need, you know, any of this. You know, we can do it with zero point technologies. But it's up to the people to get educated and demand it. You know, that's basically where we're at.
Right. And if really the average person knew the extent of all this dark activity that's going on, they wouldn't condone it. It's just that, you know, these people are creating these nuclear plants and hiring people, and it's just sort of like business as usual. So
yeah.
People don't really are not that aware of how harmful all of this stuff is. But I'd also heard, as you know, that I don't know if it was the Pleiadians or who it was that was attempting to, neutralize or...
nullify the radiation.
So that's probably some type of an intervention to just prevent everything from being destroyed, I would imagine.
Yeah, they have intervened quite a bit, but there's some things we have to gain the wisdom through experience, and they don't want to interfere with our evolution, but they have intervened quite a bit, and they're definitely intervening on the ones that have been influencing humanity in a negative manner. They're taking them out as we speak, and they're pretty much done with the most of that. You know, there's just a few left here, but the cleanup is well underway, and it's pretty much complete. It's almost done.
Right. I mean, and the big issue, I think, is that most of humanity doesn't know who they are without control of this dark agenda. They don't really know who they are. So once you take out that element, people will start to learn about, you know, all kinds of things that will, directly evolve their consciousness.
Yeah, you'll see in the UFO community and even in the spiritual community, there's a thing called planned opposition. And there's people on the highest levels that are in positions on the highest levels, and they're the most well-known ones out there. And they're actually in cahoots with, you know, the deep state or the CIA or whatever. You know, they've sold out or they've sold out to Google or some of these other guys. And they're working hand in hand with them to kind of control the narrative and the direction. And, you know, we need to do some research into that and make that known and who's who out there. But, you know, it's pretty clear what they'll do is their giveaway is they'll talk about heavily about global warming and how we have to work for depopulation. And they'll make statements like, you know, that, or they'll say there's no negative ETs, they're all good, you know, or you'll hear them make statements like that, and those are the giveaway statements that talk about kind of who they're with, you know.
That's another issue, too, because I hear Dr. Greer saying they're all wonderful, you know, and I don't know.
Well, that, you know, sometimes people make connections they shouldn't and start working with those energies, and they pass on that information and it goes downhill from there. But, forget about what they say on the stage, you know, because that's just a big show. Mm-hmm. But watch what they do off stage. You know, watch where their money goes. Watch what they do off stage. Watch how they treat their staff and their people. And that's a good indicator of who they really are. And watch who they hang out with. You know, if they start bragging about their connections with the Rockefellers and the Clintons and things like that, then it's a good idea that they're probably, you know, dancing at Bohemian Grove along with all the others.
Anyway, I really, really can't wait for all these big corporations. I mean, just recently, I'm really noticing an increase in allopathic medicine, you know, offering all of these longevity techniques and methods and pills and the 3D scanning to make the organs. And I'm like, wow, that tells me they are really concerned about their whole profession being destroyed altogether by, because they know, they've got to know this new healing technology is coming in, and they're going to be out of business.
Yeah, they'll be out of business, basically, when this technology comes in. I've got a whole lot of other callers here, so I might have to let you go. But
thank you so
for
much
calling.
For your time.
All right, take care.
Enjoy your show. Okay,
all
bye-bye.
Right. We've got Jim on line two. Jim, are you with us?
Hey, this is Jim. How you doing? First time caller. I discovered your, by looking at some of these blog talk, podcast radio, I had to set up your own radio station. So I got on its website and I think, but are you Bob Lazar? Are you
someone,
you kind of sound like him. You're not Lazar.
No, not close, but I like Bob, but I'm not Bob Lazar.
No, okay, but you are, your name is Bob?
No, it's James.
You are Bob? Oh, okay, Jim. Well, listen, I got a good one for you. You've probably heard it before. Do you really think that Adamski actually bored a UFO and he was taken up by crew members and all that? I mean, what do you think about that? Back in the 60s, I really ate that stuff up, and from time to time it comes up. What's your take on that?
Well, you know what? I really do think he did, mainly because I was raised in the high desert there, right near where a lot of that stuff was going on by, you know, near Giant Rock and all the other things that were happening out there. And, you know, when we were kids, we just accepted the fact that UFOs are real because we saw them all the time. And my dad would pull over the car and he'd go, look, and he'd point up and there'd be five ships like right above the car. And we were raised that way and we didn't even bat an eye, you know, thinking whether or not UFOs are real. And so, you know, so it's like, and, you know, I think these guys were people of integrity when I listened to their voices. And I actually had some original tapes from these guys that were on reels. And I listened to their tapes and I got a really good feel from that they, and their message was real positive and kind of warning humanity, you know, that we need to clean up our act and stop with the wars and the nukes and all the other stuff. So it's, I mean, they had the same message back then that they're giving us now.
I got one for you. I was about 7 or 9 years old, maybe, from Dallas, Texas, man. I was I was on my belly and my knees up in the air, and I was looking at a Life magazine picture of me. And of course, I think this was Adamski and how he had encountered the guy in the desert. I was Furcon, I guess his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the ship, and he had said he could see the ship clearly. And the man said he was repairing the ship. Something happened. He had to make a little something for it to repair the ship. And he noticed that he was talking in, what do you call that, when you talk with the mind?
Telepathically.
Telepathically, yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy was telling him about, as a matter of fact, Adamski was saying he was stooping on his knees, drawing the sun being a center, and he was trying to tell this stranger that we came from the third place from the sun, and he stooped on his knees, claimed that he came from the second place. He was the Venusian guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he meant Martian. Now, of course, if you look at today's science, how could anybody possibly live on a planet as hot as Venus, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you look at Mars.
Most of them live on the interior. Most advanced races actually live on the interior of their planets. And
really?
Venus, I don't think Venus is what they're telling us, be honest with you, because when I looked at the science behind that and they said they dropped a rover there and all these other things, you know, if it was what they said, if the atmosphere was what they said, that rover would have burned up and smashed, you know, that chute wouldn't have worked. Nothing would have worked. And I've talked to people, you know, they're involved in the secret space fleet and things like that, and they said, you know, all these planets, Mars, the moon, everything, they're growing things on them. I mean, they have atmosphere, they have oxygen and water, and they're not what we're told. And so it's like when you see this, and the moon actually really isn't, moon's an artificial planet anyway. It's hollow and
something like
it's
that.
Actually
an artificial satellite or something. Yeah,
it's a terraforming planet that was a long time ago.
No, I believe the moon has something to do with the tides and the oceans, and I think this satellite keeps the water from completely covering the Earth.
Well,
that's my take.
Yeah, we'd be living in a cesspool if it wasn't for the moon, because we'd just be swamps and there'd be no water movement or anything, and we just, the whole planet would just be a big polluted swamp, you know, if it wasn't for the moon. So the moon was placed perfectly. Where the moon is, it's placed perfectly to you know, sustain life on the planet. It's amazing, you know, when you look at the odds of that.
Definitely, your seasons, your nodes, has to do with the growing cycles, ovulation with animals, including the female. You know, it's something to do with a lot of things. I guess because we're so tied. Well, let's see, what would be a good word to use? Sort of galactic or cosmic. There's a cosmic tie to all this, you know.
Yeah, it's all tied together. Yeah, it's all orchestrated and tied together. You know, I've got about 10 other people on the line here, so I'm going to have to move on. But thanks for calling, and stay tuned.
All right, nice talking to you, Jim. Thank you.
All right, take care. Okay, we've got Tina on line 3. Tina, are you with us?
Hi, James. How are you doing? Namaste.
Namaste. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, we're actually from myself and Steven, my fiancé's here. We're actually from Vancouver. We've been up to the ranch many, many, many times.
Great.
So hopefully we can get back up there this year. We've moved out of the area, so.
We're in Texas, bud.
Yeah, we're in Texas now.
Oh, my goodness.
Great.
Texas, another one. What's up with the RV, sir?
All my exes live in Texas.
No,
I'm just kidding. I don't have an ex in Texas.
We're still with you, though. Great. What's up with the RV? What do you know about the
Well, network? I'll tell you what, I can't go into too much about it, but we've been working with the key people, you know, grandfather and the signatory on the gold and all that stuff, and just clearing a lot of energies around it to get it going forward. And all these people are making these announcements, and I'm going, what are you talking about? It's not even signed off yet. There's no way it can go forward. But I think it just recently got signed off. I'm waiting for a call to tell me it's done, and it probably got done either Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure yet, but it finally got, I think, signed off. And there was a lot of shenanigans and a lot of moles and a lot of people sabotaging it at the last minute, and they finally got it all cleaned up. And now the generals all have control. I mean, the Chinese generals, the American generals, everybody has control of it, and they have all the codes and everything else. So it's pretty much done as far as I know. But I'll have to check back in and find out.
Yeah, we agree with that as well. We're looking forward to seeing you, James. God bless. Thank you.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Okay, we've got Mary on line 4. Mary, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, James. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a couple things. I'm in an Edgar Cayce class, and we were discussing the word hate. And the word hate, to me, is very dark and violent.
Mm-hmm.
And I
hate that word.
Yeah.
I'm just
I know that, you know, for me, it's, you know, thinking back in my life, it's just pretty synonymous with myself with disliking things and just use the word hate instead of dislike. But for me, that puts that energy out into the ethers, you know, and even though there's no intention behind it, it still changes the chemistry in your body and still does stuff in the air as far as I'm concerned. You know, so I try to encourage people not to use that word.
Yeah.
And then another thing, I don't know if you're aware of the series The Truth About Vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ty Bollinger. He's having a 48-hour replay marathon this weekend, all day today and tomorrow.
Great.
So if you missed any of it, that all 7 episodes plus he's got 2 Q&As.
Yeah.
And if you go, the website is thetruthaboutvaccines.com.
Great. Oh, thanks. Yeah. So I was going to say, send me the link and I'll do that. But if you email me a link, just go to our website and send me an email. I'll put it out of our newsletter too, to let people know.
Okay. I watched all 7 of them because they were on for like 7 days in a row. And it was just amazing the kind of stuff that they put in the inoculations of vaccines and stuff.
I hope they covered Naegelis, because Naegelis that they put in the vaccines totally shuts down your ability to process vitamin D, and it destroys your immune system, and you can't fight cancer off or anything else. And it's in the inoculations, you know, people need to know about that.
Right. I mean, there was stuff in there that it was just unbelievable. Some of the vaccines have antifreeze in it. And
yeah.
They were saying that there's all this DNA, like from monkeys and rats and cows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That with
chickens
injecting into us is going to change our DNA. And so once it's changed, it's never going to go back.
Yeah, it's a mess. They definitely need
to
deal with
it.
I'll put that out
really
on the newsletter. I have been putting that out quite a bit lately, but I've been traveling, so now I can get back on the newsletter and put those. But I've been
right.
really focusing heavy on the inoculations, on the chemtrails, and all this stuff to get that information out to people.
They had one instance where they told one of the ladies what they had some sort of meeting, and the drug companies were doing the talking. And when the lady confronted him about some of the stuff that was in the shot, it was for Hep B, that they give that Hep B to babies in their first day of life.
Yeah.
And it's got over 250 times the amount of aluminum in it that was even considered okay. And
yeah.
she stood up and told him that, and he just said right back to her that they weren't going to have an orphan drug.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
they were going to use that no matter what. So
yeah.
really dark
yeah, that,
stuff.
Yeah, I talked to a guy. I went to a talk with Ram Dass and this guy, Dr. Bliss, and he was just totally talking about how vaccines are going to save us and they're the way to go and everything else. And, you know, people brought that up and he just kept going. And I just said, you know, this guy is at a spiritual retreat center pushing the inoculations and with this other guru. And I go, what the hell's wrong with this picture? And I had to walk out. I just had to walk out. I said, you know what? If I stay here, I'm just going to rip this guy.
Rip him a new one.
Yeah, rip him a new one. So I better walk out. I better leave, you know, but, you know, sometimes I do that, but I just felt, you know what, I kept asking, should I confront this? And they said no. And some people did confront it, not the way I would have, but it did get confronted.
Right.
You know, but anyway, well, thanks for calling. I've got a ton of other people there, but thanks for sharing that information. We'll get that out.
Okay. Thanks, James.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I think we've got Samas on line one from Turkey.
So this is Samas. I'm not from Turkey, brother. I'm on Sedona.
Oh, it says Turkey on my reader here. But, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Peace be still, my friend.
All right. I love Sedona.
I wanted to share something with you. This is really important. We have a mutual friend on that wonderful state called Utah, and I'm sure you're aware of what's gone down the last 48 hours. Under 63C, Andrew 2nd, Section 247, public office employees, number 5, it's been stated that any enterprise undertaken by public officials who tend to weaken public confidence and undermine the sense of security for individual rights is against public policy. Fraud in its elementary common sense of a deceit and is one of the meanings of a fraud that bears in the statute, see United States versus Cal, includes the deliberate concealment of material information in a setting of fiduciary obligation. A public official is a fiduciary towards the public, and if he deliberately conceals material information from them, he is guilty of fraud. This is a result of information I've been searching and researching this for over 38 years. The Oath of Office is a quid pro quo contract pursuant to Article 6, Clauses 2 and 3, in which the clerks, officials, and officers of the government pledge to perform, support, and uphold the United States and the state constitutions in return for substances, wages, perks, and benefits. Under 5 CFR 2635.101, the public office is a public trust. So now, when we look at what happened when the event and issue took place, i.e. the first, the registrar on the state where the application for certificate of live birth went to after the county created the birth certificate, that party is wearing three hats. He's wearing a hat as an osteopathic physician, a physician, and also the state registrar. He produces an affidavit basically stating that the principal is unable to handle his own affairs. So what they do is they create this power of attorney. It goes from cradle to grave, and that's how they get jurisdiction over us. When we talk about this, sovereign rights of what we are entitled to are inalienable rights. This is very important to understand. For example, under the Florida statutes, it basically says the affidavit executed by the physician must state that the physician is licensed to practice medicine or osteopathic medicine pursuant to Chapter 458 or Chapter 459, that the physician is the primary physician who has responsibility for the treatment and care of the principal, and the physician believes that the principal lacks the capacity to manage property. This is how they've stolen our sovereignty. We went from the maternity ward to the becoming a ward of the state by operation of law and constructive fraud by getting the mother to confess as the informant the child was born out of wedlock. Then when somebody violates one of their 60 million code statutes and regulations and they hire an attorney, they become a ward to court pursuant to Corpus Juris Condom, Volume 7, Section 4. I would love to continue this conversation with you in another venue. If you have a method of I could contact you in the light of the new day on Monday or Tuesday, I would graciously devote an hour of my time to share this information with you, James. Sincerely, great. Respectfully.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I totally agree with everything that you're saying, and I'm aware of that. And, you know, I work a lot with Winston Srout and other people that are working with the sovereignty, you know, movement. And, this information gets out. But we're getting really close to restoring the republic, and this whole other system is about ready to go down the tube. So, but anyway, unfortunately, Samos, we're out of time. I wish we could continue on this, but we're out of time, and I've got to sign off. But thanks for calling, and just go ahead and send us an email, and we'll get back to you. Go to the website, and all the contact information is at www.eseti.org. And just say I was calling on the show as the heading to make sure we get it
And this is Somas with I Anasahani. I'm a member of the Cherokee Nation of Indians, brother.
Awesome, great, yeah. My grandmother is Cherokee, so we're kind
all right.
Of a
have
mix.
A blessed twilight.
I'll see you. Have a good one. All right, we're out of time. Unfortunately, I've got to sign off. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. On the BBS network, stay in the heart, watch the skies, and we are living in exciting times, so get ready for change. Good night.